nagging doubt.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
After thousands of years of traditions and ceremonies and law and the prophets, now comes grace. Men over all those years could not have peace, could not do what you do every night in Christ. You lay down and go to sleep and you have the peace of God in your life. Prior to the coming of Christ, no one ever had a conscience that was clear. Only through the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ and redemption do we have the opportunity through a born-again experience to have a new heart wherein we are actually at peace with God constantly. And it is an awesome gift. When Jesus came, history, B.C. A.D., reset the clock. Talk about a global reset. It was absolutely a global reset. And you might say, well, who was awake? Who was aware? Who was noticing? Most weren't. Most missed it. And you're right. Most did miss it. But it didn't change the fact that spiritually, all hell was put into a new dimension of controlled resistance by the completed work of Jesus Christ. Absolutely powerful. The born-again experience. The coming of Christ. Some of you may remember Carmen. I remember a song that Carmen did about the celebration that all hell had when Jesus was on the cross and he was struggling for breath and then would come to his last breath, and the party in hell with all the demons invited went on to high level. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Talk about a global reset. For God so loved the world, he was going to do something about the lost of people that had led to this destruction by the flood, the separations of nations and tongues that scattered across the globe, all of the redemptions and then failures, backsliding, idolatry, all of that. God's answer is that none of you can ever get it right. You need my son to come and fix that problem. I'm going to send my son. He can fix your problem that still this morning is impacting the Church of Jesus Christ. That is the only answer. I want to point to the next, what I believe is the next global historical reset, Pentecost. Pentecost. Jesus said, it's good for you that I'm leaving. It's good for you that I'm going to go back to my Father. Because what's going to be available to you when I leave is going to be so much greater than you could even imagine ever. And it's going to be so much more than what you've ever seen accomplished with me. It's going to be on a grander scale. It's going to be greater than. In fact, you will do greater things then. What a global reset. Satan, as he has his day in the desert with Jesus. Think about it. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the desert. Devil doesn't know if Jesus as man could sin or not. He doesn't know. So he's going to tempt him and test him to fulfill the word of God, that the Son of God would be tempted in every manner, same as we are, so that he could identify with us. And so that we could look at him and we could say, he understands what I'm going through. He understands life. He understands death. He understands separation. He understands rejection. He understands pain. He understands all of that. And so we have the Messiah who came and says, I'm going to send you a comforter. You're not going to be alone. You're never going to be alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. But I'm going to send you a comforter that is not just going to rest upon you. It's not going to be like a Gideon having a day of strength in the field. It's not going to be like a Samson. It's not going to be like an Elijah or an Elisha. It's going to be totally different. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is so determined that the Holy Spirit will move into you and empower you. Now, Satan has another problem now. Yeshua came out of the desert and was without sin. Now, the work is completed. And now, I believe what ticks the devil off more than anything else in all of the world is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has empowered us to not say yes to sin, but to say yes to God. I do not live under the power or the boot of Satan, and you don't either if you are in Christ. I will not say with my mouth that I sin in word and thought and deed every day and give myself to such a low level of provision when God gave His Son that I could not only be adopted into the family, but I could have the Father's presence and power through the Holy Spirit dwelling in my life. And whether I'm on the mountain or I'm in the valley, whether you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, whether you have answers to your questions or you only have questions, it doesn't change the fact that inside of you is the same Creator that spoke and brought the heavens and the earth into existence. Talk about a reset. Now Satan not only has the challenge that he had when Yeshua was empowered, now he has believers all over the globe who will surrender to the Lordship of Christ and welcome the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives, who are now equipped with this level and measure of faith to operate as Jesus did. I believe the enemy cannot stand the fact that through the power of God, we do not fulfill his will. We do not fulfill the will of the devil in our lives. We fulfill the will of the Lord. Let me take you to Isaiah. This is going to take a little time. We're not going to get all this done this morning, okay? This has been on my heart for several days. If you're not connected with the Presidential Prayer Team online, I would recommend that you do that because it gives you an opportunity to have daily prayer guides that ties in with what's going on in our nation. It's an organization that is now celebrating 25 years. I get so many reports at the radio station, it's more than I can actually go through. But this is one that I do try to kind of go through and stay up with. As I was looking at this, and they're talking about this year, 2026, and they're looking back at 2025, and they say 2025 was a year with heartbreaks and yet hope. And they reference things such as Charlie Kirk and some of the attack that's against the body of Christ that was visible. And the whole aspect of martyrdom that's going on around the world. I mean, there's thousands of people that have died for their faith. And so, conscious of that, address that a little bit. But then, the perspective of this report is, God is moving now, powerfully. God is moving now, powerfully. We need to write that down if we don't have it up here somewhere. And we need to speak it. If no one else wants to hear, speak it so we can hear it. That God is moving powerfully. And so I agree with that. And there's this bold surge they address of faith with athletes, influencers. I don't know how many of you were able to watch Charlie Kirk's memorial service. That was an amazing revelation of the gospel through people that I didn't know could possibly do that. Now, you may say, well, they probably had speech writers. They probably had Franklin Graham writing their notes. I don't know who wrote their notes. And you know, frankly, I don't even care who wrote their notes. What I care about is they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ from their position of a political leadership over our nation. And the Word of God never fails to accomplish what it's sent forth to do. And so whether the listeners were turned by heart or desire or mind to listen, if they were watching, you could not watch without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was absolutely powerful. Some have said that possibly in his death, maybe more have now come to Christ than in his time in his life. There's an amazing thing happening with young people. So they talk about this, that this is where we are, that there is this great move of God. There's a book that's going to be released. I have not read the book. I've looked at the reviews on it by Troy Anderson. And this book addresses some issues that have taken place political and some leaders that have been raised up and addresses what's going on with young adults. This it's a resurgence And the amazing thing is, and we may not see it in here this morning yet, but the amazing thing is, traditionally, people middle-aged and older were the ones that went to church. They were people that we considered to be grounded. But this morning, not coming, but this morning, there will be more younger people seeking God than there will be middle-aged and older people in our nation. Doesn't matter. I believe there's a reset by the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't like saying, let's bring an evangelist in and schedule a revival. It's not like that at all. This is like a sovereign, global move of God that bypassed most of the churches and went into the campuses and went into the very place where Jesus was being denied even his existence. And many of the professors denied that there was a Holocaust. And anti-Semitism was on a high level with all kinds of revolts. And yet in the midst of that, God has been doing a powerful work. And it is absolutely a powerful work. Yeah, some of these congregations that have been impacted by Turning Point and in the network, about 9,500 congregations that are connected, they're seeing increases in attendance 25%, 35%, 50%. Some churches have tripled in size. With young people. Fred, you have a grandson that's a part of this movement. He's a leader in his city over several different chapters. And this is something that God is doing. This is what God is doing. The Gen Zs are the ones that are coming. They're coming. It is an amazing thing that God is doing. This book that is coming out, it examines some controversial people to some degree. You know, Donald Trump has been very controversial. I remember when he was looking just to get nominated the first time. And at that time, we had a group of people praying together and looking to work together to be a part of whatever we could do to encourage godly leadership be raised up. And there was one of my mornings in devotions where God just gave me a word about what was going to happen, and I dated it, wrote it down. It was long before he was nominated. Some point I might dig that out if it's relevant, but I wrote it down that morning, and I went into the prayer group that evening on a Monday night, and I was excited. I was looking forward to share what God had given me, but what I found out was even in our church with our group of men with prayer, there was such a strong resistance to any possibility that God could use a Donald Trump, that it literally would have split that prayer group in half if I had shared what was on my heart. And I remember those days where many Christians said, there's no way God can use somebody like that. I believe we as the church need to think again, why is it that God would use somebody like me? All of these leaders that were so convinced that God couldn't use a Donald Trump, but addresses that Donald Trump didn't get into office because of some political movement. This was a God movement. Maybe this will be a little controversial. You may like him, may not like him. Doesn't matter. God's used people throughout history, righteous, unrighteous. He uses donkeys, and he uses you, and he uses me. But God raised him up, and I'll tell you part of the reason I believe why God raised him up, because pastors were afraid to preach the truth in the pulpits. Amazing that a politician would stand up and buck his own team and stand up and take a position, whether you agreed with him or not. I was just saying, thank God for somebody that's got some spiritual guts and loves my nation. And I'll tell you, I'm never one that's believed GOP stood for God's own party. I don't believe the Republicans is the answer. I believe Jesus is the answer. But this book of it examines the fact that God uses people that the world might not choose. And even Charlie Kirk, 10 years ago, most of you didn't even know about Charlie Kirk. Didn't even know who he was or what he was doing. But behind the scenes, he was just being himself and doing what God had called him to do. And there's Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan and Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen and others that may or may not be religious leaders, but cultural disruptors that he addresses. And this man in this book, he lays out three things. I'm going to end up with a book. I'm going to chase this guy to bring him on the radio station. He has vision of a reset. I didn't know that till I started looking. I came across his stuff. He lays out 3 points. These are 3 points you're going to want to make a record of. First of all, that America and the world is at a moment of repentance or collapse. We haven't repented as a nation yet. We have people who are repenting, but our nation has not repented yet. Say, well, how can you say that? If our nation was repenting and in revival, there would be people standing outside and parked down the road trying to get in to find God. With or without advertising. You know, we don't need advertising. You know, God knows how to move a nation, move the heart of a nation without TV, without YouTube, without live stream, without radio, without the printed page. God knows how to move nations. He simply says we're at a moment of repentance or collapse. We have a window. It's a window at this moment. It's a window of mercy, but it's going to be a window of mercy or judgment, one or the other. One or the other. And then the third point, we're at a place in our nation and in our world where there needs to be a loud call to prayer, fasting, and spiritual responsibility. And for those of you that are really hungry, I will just go to Isaiah as we close, and we're going to break bread this morning. It's the right time for us to be fasting and praying and seeking God. Isaiah chapter 42. And we're not going to get into Isaiah 58. I would like to. We're not going to get in there this morning because I really want to talk to you about the benefits of fasting that will not happen any other way in our lives on the level that God wants it to happen except through prayer and fasting. As we were talking as men at the breakfast throughout the last few hours of this year that I've been in the station, people talked about fasting different ways, and people fasted different things. And I believe the best fast is saying, Father, what do you want me to fast so that I can pursue your presence in a greater way than ever before in all of my life? They say, Jonathan, why did you add that part? Did you have to add the part about greater than at any other time in all of my life? I think it's important that we add that part because we're living at a time that has never in all your life happened before. And there's an opportunity, but also there is a great penalty if we do not receive it. Isaiah 42. So God's going to talk to Israel a little direct here. Verse 18, Isaiah 42, 18. Oh, how deaf and blind. Those are pretty strong descriptive words, aren't they? Oh, how deaf, can't hear, blind, can't see. You are toward me. God's talking to his people. Why won't you listen? Why do you refuse to see? Who in all the world is as blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messengers? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and understand what is right, but you refuse to act on it. That's an interesting charge, isn't it? He just says you're deaf and you're blind, and then he says you see and understand, but you refuse to do it. So if you see it and you know it, but you refuse to do it, God says you're deaf and you're blind. It's not enough to know and not go. Pharaoh was told to let him go, and he wouldn't. He said no. God is saying to Israel, you know, but you are not moving in the measure of truth that I've given you. And so God loves them. He's speaking to them. Drop down to verse 12 of chapter 43. We're now in 43. Isaiah 43, verse 12. First I predicted your deliverance. I declared what I would do. Then I did it. I saved you. Brings them out of Babylon, right? No foreign God has ever done before what I'm doing. You're witnesses that I am the only God. From eternity to eternity, I am God, and no one can oppose what I do. No one can reverse my actions. And God is talking to his people saying, you know, there is no other God. You know what I've done in your life. You know what I've done. We are people like that, aren't we? You know many people who do not know what you know, who have not experienced what you've experienced in God, who have not seen what you've seen in God. Some of you saw some things as a child. You experienced some things in fellowship, small groups, prayer gatherings, chairs set in the middle, circles, parents praying through the night, interceding, fasting, and seeking God. In all-night prayer gatherings, some of us grew up with those things. Some of you have seen miracles. Some of you experience miracles. Some of you are living this morning because of the miraculous working of God in your life. Many people do not know what you know in this room this morning. And when God spoke to Israel, he said, it's not enough for you to know. I want you to live like it makes a difference in your life. And I believe in this year that God is indeed, as Ben said, looking to bring some breakthroughs and transformations that impact eternity through this church and through our lives. I'm not sure how all that's going to happen, but I believe we are on our way. Look at verse 18, Isaiah 43. But forget all of that. God talks in the earlier verses, I called the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots, horses. I drew them beneath the waves. They drowned. Their life snuffed. Look back. Look back at everything you've seen God do. You know that God has done other than your personal walk with God. God is saying to Israel, he's pointing out the high points of his working with them. But then God says, forget it all. Forget it all. Forget all of that in comparison to what you haven't seen yet, to what's getting ready to happen. Yeah, it's right here. God's telling Israel, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do a brand new thing. Reset. I'm about to do a brand new thing. I said, Father, what is a reset? A reset doesn't mean we have 1,000 more years. It doesn't mean we have 50 years. It doesn't mean we have 6 months. A reset means that God has looked at the condition on the earth. And if it's a global reset, God looks at the condition on the earth and moves upon the hearts of people in a global way. And there's a transformation that begins to happen that is spiritual, that will impact the nations. And things can change very fast. They changed really fast with the flood. All those people who didn't believe, once the water started, I believe when it got up to the ankles, they started saying, maybe we ought to be thinking about what that crazy guy on the ark said. By the time it gets up to the knees, I think they're getting a little more interested. By the time it gets up to the waist, I think God's getting their attention. By the time it's up to their neck, I think they're banging on the walls of the ark saying, let us in. It happened pretty fast. No, this was going on preparation for years and years. We have been praying. Some of you have been interceding for your family for years. Thank you, Sharon, for the word. That was a great word. Hang on to God. Trust God. Don't let the world dictate who you are and what your future is. I love it. But a spiritual reset is necessary for the end time harvest to come in. It's coming in right now. It's coming in right now. And this is a global reset that's taking place right now. And so when you look at what's going on in the world, in my lifetime, there has never been globally what is taking place right now. Look at Venezuela. Look at Cuba. Look at Iran this morning. Look at Israel. Look at Russia. Look at the Ukraine. Look wherever you want to look around the world. And right now, God has raised up a president in this nation. I don't know that there's ever been a time when there has been such a, I'm going to call it a spiritual working of God that was global. I mean, there's a lot of people shaking in their boots because they're seeing something that they thought they would never see. Wicked leaders, drug lords, and these individuals are seeing that there is a level of righteousness that is bringing the fear of God upon them. And many of them are there now wanting to talk with our president. There's not time to go too deep into this, but I'll just say this. Remember that the scripture says the time when the Lord returns will be the time when everyone is saying, peace, peace. We have a negotiator right now that's saying, peace, peace, on a level that I have never seen in my lifetime. I don't believe there's ever been a time on the planet where we've seen what we're getting ready to see right now and are seeing. I believe there's a global reset. I believe that God sovereignly is moving amongst all the nations. And I believe this is part of the end time plan of God to bring in a massive harvest. The question is, to me, to all of us, am I going to watch it or am I going to be a part of it? Am I going to be a spectator or a participator? Am I going to give my time, my life, my energy, my resources? Am I going to apply myself to the timing and purposes of God that is moving in the nation? Or am I simply going to watch and document that it's happened? And I want to encourage you to be a participant. You don't have to know what all that means. I don't know what all that means. God reminded me the other day, it's been several years ago, when I prayed, I believe it was following a time of fasting, certainly was a time of prayer. But God had put in my heart to pray for 1,000 souls that year. I mean, it seemed ridiculous, didn't seem possible. I didn't know how God could do anything like that, but I said, God, I want to be a part. I want to be a part. You put in my heart, I want to be a part of seeing 1,000 souls come into the kingdom of God. Shortly after that time of prayer, I had a call, an invitation to go to Africa, to Nigeria. I don't know how many thousands of people we ministered to. I don't know how many were touched. I know there were 7,000 young people alone that I spoke to. God just reminded me of that in the last few mornings and said, what are you going to ask for now? I think it's time we ask for the nations as God's inheritance to be brought in.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact He's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study His Word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand His will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on religious liberty news on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.